Hi, welcome to this episode of the Soul Frequency Show. I'm Shauna Ekedahl, frequency expert, personal coach, and modern-day woman living a mystical and magical life. And today, we're going to be talking about gratitude. And I know you've heard it a million times, be grateful, or gratitude expands all things, etc., etc. And yet, I want to drop down a few notches to get to the heart of gratitude. You know, we live in a time where our head and our mind is prized over our heart, where we get hired or get paid or we get praised for what we can create with our mind and take action on. And yet, what about our heart? What about the central organ of our body, the first thing that is formed in utero? Did you know that the energy center of the heart can travel city blocks, that it's that powerful? And through the heart center is where we expand our consciousness to access new levels of love and gratitude. It comes from the heart. And today we're going to be talking about manifesting through gratitude. And my guest is going to show you the action steps that you can take doing the same practice that she's doing every day that has helped her create an incredible life. Camila Marshall is a soulful, inspirational, and talented gift to this world. She's recently been seen as support for 7-time Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Taylor Swift. She also sang backup for Bette Midler, and her Broadway credits include Rent, Disney's The Lion King, and the original cast of Hairspray. She's appeared on all kinds of shows like Ellen and Jimmy Kimmel, Late Night with David Letterman, the Grammy Awards, the Tony Awards, and even the Oprah Winfrey Show. She's worked with some of the biggest and best recording artists of our time, people like Justin Timberlake, Mary J. Blige, Mick Jagger, Wynonna Judd, Queen Latifah, Matthew Morrison, just to name a few. And she's got this bluesy country sound with a soulful overtone and a wild-hearted spirit that you can enjoy in her debut CD called Gypsy Moonshine. She has graced stages around the world, and she is here to share about the book she uses to manifest things in her life, and she lovingly calls it the Magic Book. She is a client, a friend, and an extraordinary human being. It is with the deepest gratitude that I share this conversation and hope that you get a pen and paper so you can start your very own magic book. Welcome, Camila. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. And so I want to share a lot of things and ask you a lot of questions, but just so we can all get familiar with you and a little bit about your background, tell us how you got started in the arts and anything you want to share about kind of living your passion, how that started for you.
Well, I started when I was really young. My parents put me and my brother in everything. So it was kind of up to us to, you know, choose which we wanted. And they knew the one would stick would be like process of elimination. So we did sports and we did everything. And I really kind of took to dancing and performing. I was more a dancer than a singer at the time, but just anything to get me on a stage. And the only problem was that I was really, really shy. I think that's a lot of the reasons why, you know, my parents put me in things like that was mainly just to get me to be more social and not be so shy. And in turn, I found a love for performing. But I had a severe case of stage fright. So it was a huge obstacle for me to try to figure out how to continue to perform, you know, with this deep-rooted fear of people watching me, you know? I always say that if I could have, you know, done this for a career and done it in my room with the doors closed and nobody watching me and still got paid.
That would have worked great.
That would have been amazing, yeah.
Yeah, and I love that because fear is something that we all have to make friends with, I like to say, and move through if we're gonna live our passion and if we're gonna be excited about our life and if we're gonna continue to grow. And do you have specific like tools that you use for that? Like, let's say if you are feeling nervous or excited for a new show or a performance you're gonna do, do you have little things you do?
I mean, now I just really try to take moments, you know, take a moment to say a prayer for just, you know, that I go out there and do the work that needs to be done and that I have a great time and that I'm able to, you know, really use and share this gift that was given to me. I think that's a really grounding place to be before I start. Back then, it's so strange. Like, I literally used to do talent shows, go on stage, they'd start the music, I'd start to sob, and then I'd go back stage, my mom would be waiting for me because she would know that this was going to happen. And then, you know, I'd wipe my tears and say, I want to do it again. And strangely enough, the second time, I could always get through it. Nervously, but I would get through it. And I always thought maybe there was something in that pattern that I just needed one for free. Do you know what I mean? I just needed a little extra time, a little more time than everybody else. But there was always something about the first time not really getting through it and the second time getting through it that I haven't really figured out. But I kind of think that was, you know, I just kind of took longer to acclimate to people staring at me, you know, never really knowing that what my friend had told me a while ago is they're always on your side. The audience is always rooting for you, you know?
I love that.
Yeah. She was saying that when you go to auditions to kind of get out of your fear and get out of whatever, is that the audience is those people behind the desk, they want to hire you. They want their job to be done. You know what I mean? They're hoping that it's you. So that's kind of a great perspective to have. You know, when you're on stage, the audience wants you to be, they paid money to see you sing. You know what I mean? They don't want you to be bad. And so that was another technique along the way that I got.
Yeah. And why do we think they're not on our side? I mean, it's funny as you're saying that and I'm thinking of times, you know, and you go up on stage and you almost think they're waiting for you to mess up sometimes or that they're not on your side. That's so funny, right?
And it's like, where did that story come from? You know what I mean?
Right.
Why did I think that they were all out to get me just because they were staring? I don't know. We come up with the craziest things in our head and we do it from a young age that, you know, that was something that was really hard for me to shake for a while.
Yeah. And you know, it's so I have the privilege and the honor of working with people in a very intimate way, right? Really sharing mm-hmm. their lives with me. And I share a lot of my life with them and things that I've been through, if it's pertinent to their growth and their trajectory. And you're one of those people. And I want to really dive into something that you created because part of my process is about creation and about tapping into our creative power, which isn't just for the arts. You just happen to be in the arts, but it's really being, understanding how we create our life and how we create every moment and how to do that intentionally instead of creating things that we don't want. We want to create things that we do want. And you've had such an amazing journey with this. And so, and you can share a little bit about that, but let's talk about this book that you created.
Well, I call it the magic book. I suppose it's not really magic, but
it is. It is magic.
The things that happen are absolutely magical. And it started from you because you got my wheels turning the day that you posted on Facebook, if today were the best day ever, what would you be doing? And I was borderline paralyzed by it because in my heart, I knew the answer. And the answer was like just a regular day. You know, it was just like, if today was the best day ever, I'd be doing all of my favorite things that I do all the time, you know? And I looked at some of the comments. I remember somebody wrote something like my cruise to Antarctica or something like that. And that just started to like move me. Like, I don't know this person, but you know, they probably have never been and they can't wait to go and they probably don't have enough money to go. So that would be the best day ever if they got to go. So I started to realize that I had lost my vision for my dreams and what I want to come true and awesome things to happen to me. I just had lost it. And my girlfriend had reminded me that I used to be that way because I had wanted to be on Broadway and that came true. I had wanted to, you know, go to Paris and see Japan. I had wanted to be a harlot for Bette Midler. You know, there were things that I wanted to be married, you know, and all of those things have come true, which is amazing. And I'm super grateful. But somewhere along the way, I forgot to refill the list. And that's where the book came in. I just grabbed a journal and I started writing a gratitude side of 10 things. And I started with gratitude specifically because my mother always told me that you can't pray to God and ask for things until you thanked him for things first. So I in turn said, okay, well, I'm thankful for waking up and I'm, you know, and the grateful, you know, it doesn't have to be extravagant. I literally sometimes sit in silence and I hear birds singing. And I'm like, I'm grateful that I have birds singing outside my window. I mean, it sounds so corny, but like, whenever do you stop to hear the birds sing? You know what I mean?
Well, and it's not corny at all, right? Because gratitude is that high frequency energy and we forget to have it for every little thing. And doesn't the world have a glow to it when you start being grateful for the birds singing, for the fact that there's leaves on the tree, for your bed, right?
Yes.
For, I have a really fun thing that I do every morning, and I don't know when it started, but literally from the moment my eyes open, for about 5 minutes, I lay there and I just start going through everything I'm grateful for right in that moment. So sometimes, oftentimes it's my sheets are so comfortable on my bed. I love them so much. And so I wake up and I'm like, I love my sheets so much. I love my bed so much. Like, I'm so happy I have a roof over my head. I'm so happy for my little boy and my husband and, you know, just all these things that I'm grateful for. And it's the most empowering way to start your day because it immediately like shifts you into that mode of gratitude. Where oftentimes people wake up to an alarm ringing and it can be kind of annoying, right? Like, get up. And so it's like an immediate shift in energy that starts your day off on the right foot. And just like, you know, I always teach with healthy eating, like when you start off your day on the right foot, the whole rest of the day seems to flow from there. And it's the same with gratitude.
Yes. And I have my things of like, you know, I write like stream of conscience writing a couple of pages every morning or meditate or pray. And, you know, when I don't have those things, when I don't do those things, I'm just off. Like when I don't start my day with lemon water, as simple as it sounds, it's like, it's my day is off.
Yeah.
It's like important to keep that.
Yeah, it's such an important detail. And these are the rituals, right? The little rituals that we have in life that keep us on track, that keep us taking the time that we need to be centered. Because so many times what I see people doing is running around and it's just this crazed state, right? It's just, I have to be here, I have to be there. And we think that we have to be that way to get everything done. And yet it's very inefficient. And it's kind of like if we can bring our energy, you know what I mean, down a little bit and like focus, we can actually get more done. And that only happens when you take that time to, like you said, meditate or visualize or center yourself and make a plan, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. I'm, you know, coming from that place of gratitude and then having like a plan for your day. Otherwise we are expending all this extra energy that's flying everywhere, right? It's like we're leaking energy out of our body, right? Yes. And it's like, and it's kind of feels crazed when you know, that's how I feel whenever I do that, you know, which we all do it from time to time, right? We have those days that take us over and it's kind of just like, okay, I've got to center, right? Recenter, bring my energy back in, kind of get focused. And it's surprising how much more you get done in that state.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I feel like I start it with the gratitude side and just write 10 things of some of anything, you know, your family and the little things, like you said, a new pair of shoes, you know, you can be grateful for that. And then I go to the other side of the page and I write my dreams. And for me, they started small because I just didn't know what to write. I mean, like those first few days, that first week, I just didn't know what to write. Like I was just like 10 things. This is like crazy. I don't know what I want, you know, and we lose that. And I say it's a childlike nature because kids know what they want. You know, they know where they're going to live. They know they're going to have a house on a hill with a fence and a dog. And they, you know, they say all these things, they know it to be true. And it really, you have to kind of channel that spirit to think of the things that you want and actually write them down and believe that they can happen for you. So
it's so true. It's we lose track of that, right? Because we're afraid when we're children, we think we can have everything we want. We just believe that. That is our abundant nature. Typically, when we are born, we are still connected to that abundance that is the soul, right? Recognition of who we are, right? It's truth. And then through other people's influence, a lot of times, or things that happen in our life, we go, wait a second, maybe I'm not abundant. And it's kind of like, it's interesting. There used to be an artist that my parents were in the art business years ago when I was very small. And there used to be an artist, and she only created paintings and sculptures of children up to the age of 8. And then people that were like in their 70s on. And amazing. She said it's because people lose who they really are in the middle section of their life. It's like,
oh my God.
Isn't that amazing? It gives me goosebumps every time. It's like we come in pure, and she was very known for her the eyes, you know, these piercing eyes that are just so beautiful. And it captured the soul, right? And
yes.
come in and we're so pure, and we live that abundance, which is the truth of who we are. And then we don't reconnect to that again until very late in life is the typical kind of lifespan, but it's not the way it has to be, right? We can always reconnect to the truth of who we are, which is really what the soul frequency is about. And really what I teach is how to reconnect to that creative power anytime, right? And have that be what we are living from. So we're living from the truth of who we are versus all this other stuff that gets piled on top of us through the course of our life. And I really think that, you know, having this book and this journal, it's like you say, it's miracles. It's magic, right? And it feels like miracles and magic isn't something that's happening all the time. And yet it is, right? That is the truth of who we are. And yet most people are not experiencing that. And so to experience it, I called it living in the land of little miracles, right? Where things just start lining up for you. And it's almost like, how'd that happen, right? That's amazing. And that's what I think you've created with this book and are continuing to create. And talk about how you've passed it along to people in your life.
Well, I had had like probably 3 or 4 things happen, maybe even 5 things in the first like 2 weeks of just being consistent and doing it every day. And that's what had me just kind of like, I didn't even know like right away, like, I mean, it was almost like scary. Like when things would happen, I'd be like, whoa, I wrote that down. Wait, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't even like, it's working. It was like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? And so I was just picking up the phone and I was calling friends and I was like, okay, so like one thing that happened to me is, there's a gal who has a clothing line that I had been following forever on Instagram, and I didn't know her. And a friend of mine one day out of the blue a year later texts me and says, you should look at this clothing line. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been following this on Instagram. How do you know about this clothing line? And he said, Ripley is one of my best friends. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, she's also my next door neighbor. How do you not know her? And he's one of my best friends. So I was like, wait a second, what? Small world. So he hooks the two of us up, Ripley and I, to have, she wanted me to come over for a fitting. So I go to her house for the fitting. And when I go in, she said, I just wanted to, you know, have you over because my clothes aren't in all the stores. So I just wanted to give you a feel for what we're doing and, you know, just kind of have you try stuff on and see, you know, what you like. So you know, when you're ordering online, what to do. I was like, great. So we had the greatest hour. She's like such a unicorn and an awesome person. And at the end of it, she says, I want to gift you with an outfit. And I literally was like, you don't have to give what? And she's like, no. I want you to have something and walk away with something. You look so great in the clothes. And I was like, that's amazing. That is so nice. So I'm walking out with free clothes. And then I said, there's 2 other pieces that I wanted. Can I buy those? And she said, yes, they're on discount right now. And I was like, this is amazing. So I walked out with a free outfit and a couple pieces on discount. So I go to my girlfriend's house and I'm like, girl, look at these clothes. And we're just gabbing and I'm trying stuff on going, isn't this amazing? And then I'm like, and she gave one to me for free and these were discount. She goes, that's amazing. I'm sitting there at the table hours later and we're looking through my book and I literally, probably I want to say 10 to 12 days earlier had written in the book free Ripley discount. I literally wrote those 3 words. I wrote free Ripley discount.
No way.
Yes. So I literally was sitting there going, and I literally am screaming to my friend. I'm going, Sylvia, oh my God, please read this. It says March 23rd. That day was April 7th. And I'm like, it says on March 23rd, I wrote free Ripley discount and I got free clothes and a discount. So those type of stories had me like, and I don't know why. I mean, my friend was like, it's just funny that you even wrote that, to think that some person who didn't know you was going to give you free clothes. And I'm like, yeah, but apparently that's what I was believing for that day.
So. And this is such the power of it. I love this story because it's a perfect example. And then it's funny when these things happen because part of your brain almost wants to just not believe it, right? It's like, this is too good to be true. How is this happening? Our brain wants to shut down this abundance, right? Because our brain's Absolutely. Like, wait a second here. But the trick of it and the practice of it is to just receive graciously. Right? To remain totally open to what is truly who we are, which is the abundance, right?
Yeah.
So this stuff should always be happening in everybody's life. It's just, we block it, right? With our mind, because we don't believe it, or we don't believe that we're worthy of it, or we don't believe that it's possible. And that's what I love about the book and the gratitude and the writing down the things, because it's not about like, oh, can I have this or can't? It's just being totally free, right? To just put it out there, right? To just put that energy out there. And what I find with people that's really fascinating is that there's a fear of even putting it out there, because what if it doesn't happen?
Yeah. Right? And I think that's why we don't want to dream.
Right. We don't want to be disappointed. So talk to me about like kind of how the book has helped you with letting go of that.
Well, I think on the days when nothing's happening, I just don't get disappointed, because I just know the energy is out there. I've put it out there, the desires of my heart. You know what I mean? I've now seen the works of it in small things, like, you know, a free outfit or whatever's happened. You know what I mean? But like, also, I've started this with a group of friends. I think we started to touch on that earlier. And as a community, we're literally all calling each other going, oh my God, this happened to me. Oh my God, this happened. Oh my God. You know what I mean? So now it's like, not only have I seen it work in my life, I've seen it work in other people's lives, and I know it to be true. So I think the doubt kind of just goes by the wayside, and every day becomes an expectation of an excitement of what could possibly happen today. Do you know what I mean? What could possibly happen?
Yeah. And what would you say to people who feel like it happens for other people and not them?
I would say they absolutely need to start doing this book, because I know that's how it looks to the eye, but it's not true. I think you just have to dig in and get to what you want. I think we're always looking at other people and what's happening to them, and we're not stepping into the doing. We're watching, you know, we're watching things happen to other people and then saying, it's not happening to me. And I'm saying, get in the game. It can happen to you, and it will, you know, remove the doubt and really believe and write it down. See it, write it, claim it, believe it. You know, once you close the book, you have to believe it. That is a vital point. You know what I mean? The believing. Yeah. You know, because we can always dream. I mean, we have friends all the time that say, I'm going to go audition. I'm probably going to get this job. And I think we say it a little, you know, just flippantly, like, yeah, I'll probably get this job. Like, it's almost like a joke. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
But I know for a fact that my friend wrote in his book that he was going to get the job. And so much that after he closed his book, he looked at his wife and said, we're going to need a babysitter for the kids next week, because I'm about to be on set, because I'm about to get this job. And then he drove to the audition, told everybody there, all the friends who were in the waiting room, he was about to get the job. He did the audition. He said it was a ridiculous time. He had to do something ridiculous that he wasn't great at, but he laughed it off because he thought, it doesn't matter because I'm getting the job. And I'm laughing at him when he's telling me this story, because I'm like, you should be so bold. You know what I mean? And then he's like, and then I'm driving to lunch with my friend. I get with my friend and I take my phone out of my pocket and I set it on the table and I say, I'm so sorry, I'm not trying to be rude, but my agents are about to call me and tell me that I got this job. And his friend was like, oh, okay. And literally the phone rang and it was the agents, and he totally got the job. And I'm like, That's the craziest story.
Well, but I have total goosebumps because this is when we focus our energy, right? When we focus up like that, like the universe is conspiring to help you at all times, right? But it can't get on board if you're not on board.
Yeah. Right?
It's like we wait on the sideline and go, I think I'm going to want this and I maybe I'm going to want it, but I want to see if it's going to come to me before I decide if I'm going to want it. Right. Like,
yeah.
It's like funny when we say it like that, but that's what we do.
That's what we're doing. And I had a friend who had told me a handful of stories of things that had happened to her. And it was just, you know, really like there was a jacket she had been eyeing and she never bought it for herself because it was too expensive. And one day randomly she had started writing her book. She couldn't think of anything. So she wrote the jacket. She went online. It was like 50% off. They only had one left and it was her size. And she was like, what? You know what I mean? And she had a few stories like that were like that. And I encouraged her, you know, like a week ago, I said, now that you see that this works, I want you to start dreaming bigger. There's nothing wrong with getting your favorite jacket or a free outfit. You know what I mean? But after once you see it works a time or two and you know that like God is listening, do you know what I mean? Then it's time to really dive into the bigger things and things we couldn't even imagine. I mean, why not win $1 million in a lottery? It sounds crazy and impossible, but maybe it's possible. You know what I mean?
It's all possible, right?
Absolutely.
Anything and everything that we believe is possible and that we take action on, right? And that's a great segue into talking about, you know, if you want to share some of what the last year has been like for you and what's opened up for you, because we've done a lot of work together and we have really covered some amazing ground. And I'm just blown away at how you have expanded your life and your thinking and what you're creating. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. I think what was great is when I came to you, you had to put something up about weight loss and I was like, well, that's me. And you kind of had talked about your program by saying at the end of 3 months, that's probably the last thing you're going to be thinking about. And that just had my wheels turning in a way of like, what could this possibly be? And really not knowing, I mean, you talked about like getting to know yourself and maybe shedding some layers. And I just kept thinking like, there were definitely things I knew. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty aware person. So I felt like I knew what I was bringing to the table and I knew my weaknesses and I knew my strengths, you know, but I had no idea that you were going to change my life. And I say that as 1,000% truth. I had no idea. So I think I had a few big hurdles. I think that one really took me by surprise, but one that I knew is that I had carried an insecurity about my singing since I was 11 years old. And I knew that it was powerful and sometimes a little crippling. But because I've been blessed with such a great career, you know, it didn't really stop me. So there's a part of you that thinks, maybe I'm kind of just getting away with it, not dealing with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of, you know, in the rear view just enough that I can still, you know, be happy and get jobs and whatever. And so the work we did together was really kind of getting to the root of where it came from, which was there was a director in a show that I was in when I was 11, who basically told me I wasn't good enough when I sang. He said, you're not good. You're just not good enough. And those words, I want to say to anyone at any age, but to an 11-year-old child who is, since we're talking about dreaming, fulfilling her dreams, you know, it was super powerful to me in the wrong way. And I really carried that load, I will say, up until last year, which is crazy because I'm real far away from 11.
Yeah.
So you and I just had to get to the bare bones. And I think, you know, I did make that mean like that my singing voice wasn't good enough. And a lot of that was like an insecurity with my voice. And so then it was everybody's better than me. And you know, I'll never be good enough, or I don't sing like that, or, you know, I mean, I would say probably up until about 5 or 6 years ago, it was actually hard for me to actually say I'm a singer, which is so crazy. If you think I was still in Rent and doing Bette Midler and all those things. So that was just working through that to really kind of get past the layers. And it just kept coming up. It kept coming up. And just when I thought it was gone, it was still there. And we just really, really worked through that. And it's crazy to sit here today, because I did carry it for so long, that I am free of that whole moment. You know, you really have such great tools to work through these things and not like kind of gloss it over. I mean, you're always kind of say walk through it and take the lid off and keep the lid off, you know? So a lot of it didn't feel great, but I feel unbelievable now from walking through all that mud, you know? And I don't think of him anymore. I was telling you earlier, what's so great is I thought in the moment where I buried that whole moment, that I would never speak of him again or speak of that story again. And now I tell it all the time. It's just more of an inspirational, like a testimony, you know?
Yeah. It's so beautiful because that is true healing, right? So much of what people do, like take weight for instance, right? We want to go on a diet, right? And hurry and lose a few pounds. And yet we're not healing the reason why, right? Yeah. That we eat the food. And so when we're chasing, you know, it's just simple to, it's like taking a pill, right? To cover up an ailment, and we're just covering the symptom. We're not healing the ailment. And yeah. So when we're doing that, we're having this relationship where we're kind of rolling over the top of what's really there. And we are trying to fix something in a way that will never fix it. And yeah. That always leads to a feeling of failure, right? That I didn't quite get there. Right? Or didn't quite get what I want, or I got what I want for a period of time and then it went back. And when we keep going to the root, and it's not about getting it perfect the first time, right? It's not about that we just get there and then, oh, good, we're done, right? It's just, when we keep digging down a little bit and we keep unrooting that stuff, we keep getting stronger and we keep getting more aware and we keep getting more resilient. And eventually it heals. Right? Eventually those little wounds, and what you're doing is then you share about it, right? In hopes that what you healed then heals others. And that is, to me, the most beautiful gift that we can give people, is to share the stuff that we've been through, you know, that we've healed from, because sometimes when we're not healed from it, we can't share about it, right? We don't want to talk about it, like you were saying. Yeah. And how we know we've healed from it is we can share it powerfully in the gift of helping other people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what's great about, I will say that, I mean, you said something about how it doesn't happen fast. Cause like, just when I thought I was over it, then those feelings would come up again and I'd be like, why isn't this over? and you're like, because it just doesn't go away overnight. But I think it's really what we touched on before. It's like, you can feel great and think you have it under control, but it took this work to, I'm telling you, it's not that, because I really, again, I consider myself an extremely aware person. You know, I feel like I know things and I know things about myself. And, you know, I just was so shocked the deep rooted work that happens with you, you know? And it's like, I didn't even know that I could feel better than I did, because I felt great before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But and it's cool.
Freedom now, which is everything, you know?
I love that. That's so beautiful. And it's true that sometimes we don't see where we can go. We just see where we are and we're like, oh, this is pretty good. And then we feel these next levels and it's like this whole other world. It's really like living in a new reality. And I just honor you for doing what you've done and for living at that space, because now you're influencing so many people's lives beyond the amazing, you know, ways that you've been influencing people's lives for so many years. And I just honor that. And I think you're just an incredible human being.
Thank you. Yes, I think you're incredible. Aww. I mean, honestly, it's so mutual, and to think that I've known you for so long and you know, that this is where our paths meet up and this is what you're doing. I just think the work is amazing. I would shout it from the rooftops and tell people just to go and give yourself. It's the greatest gift, the greatest, greatest gift.
Oh, you're so sweet. I want to close out with four questions I like to ask everybody, which is based on the four pillars that I teach people. And it's really, the first question is, what is, and you can answer in one word or you can answer in a sentence, whatever comes to you first. What is your truth?
What is my truth? God.
I love that.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that. And the next one is, what do you want to release?
My ego and my negative thoughts about myself to myself.
I love that. So powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
The third one is, what do you want to be experiencing or creating?
Freedom at all times.
Ah, yes. I love that.
All times.
Love that. And then last one is, what do you want to align yourself with?
High frequency people.
I love it. Yes.
Again, at all times.
So great, right? When things start feeling so good, you're like, I don't want to feel anything but this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an absolute, you know, it's the greatest natural high just to be around people who just love life and are on that same frequency.
I love it. Thank you so much for everything you shared and for sharing about your book and how you, you know, created that and the things that are manifesting. I think there's so many people listening to this that will really be helped by that information and have a tool. Because oftentimes people ask me like, what can I do? And this gives, you know, a great, easy action that people can start doing every day to really raise their frequency and elevate their life. And so I'm so grateful that you shared it. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I love you.
I love you too. And thank you. And we'll see everybody next week. If you liked today's episode and have any questions, I would love to hear from you. So send your thoughts and questions to info@shaunaekadahl.com. And if you want to help raise the frequency around the world, leave us a review so we can keep sending out some good vibes. Until next week, my hope and wish for you is that you love big and live abundantly.